revelation, mystery, and light. At our celebration of the Epiphany 2 weeks ago, we saw that these three realities are at the heart of the identity and mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals to the entire human race, by the uncreated light of God's glory, glory which is his from all eternity, that he is the mystery or sacrament of salvation for all people of every place and time. And today we see those same three realities of revelation, mystery, and light at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. The first thing to note about this luminous and very human moment is that Mary was invited to the wedding, and then, as John put it, Jesus and his disciples were also invited. We can savor the delicate complexity of this situation because anyone who has ever planned a wedding knows how awkward it can be to get the guest list just right. And we can perhaps imagine the unwritten backstory. Mary was probably a friend of the parents of the bride or the groom, and they wanted to invite her to the wedding. But since Joseph had apparently already died, the hosts knew that to invite Mary was also to invite her son to come along, knowing that he was already traveling with a posse of 12 men who had all recently quit their jobs to follow him on an itinerant preaching mission. It isn't difficult to imagine that the hosts had to swallow hard before inviting Jesus to the wedding, not least because they would then have to provide food and drink for 12 extra guests. But to get Mary, they had to invite Jesus, and he came as a package deal with the 12. And so they were all there that day in the tiny town of Cana to attend a wedding and celebratory feast of a couple whose names we will not know until we are gathered to the throne of grace. Then, in the midst of the feast, came the predictable embarrassment, almost certainly caused by the swollen guest list. The wine ran short, at which point the Mother of God and the Mother of the Church did what she always does. She interceded with her son. Here we must remember that this event in Cana came at the very beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. Last week we celebrated his baptism in the Jordan by John. And in the sacred liturgy, the feast of the Lord's baptism is the end of the Christmas season, precisely because his baptism was the dividing line between the 30 years of his hidden life with his mother and adoptive father and the 3 years of his public ministry. And now, only 1 week after we were still decorated for Christmas, the Gospel describes the first event recorded by Scripture after the calling of the 12. Mary said to her son, "They have no wine." And the reply of Jesus to his mother's intervention reflects the newness of this moment. "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His hour, of course, is his suffering and death. And from the very moment he begins to reveal himself to the 12 and to the children of Israel and to all the nations of the world, he will be on the journey to his hour. He will be on the way of the cross. Even at Cana, Mary knew exactly what was at stake. She had known from the moment of Gabriel's annunciation. Mary had known since the angels sang and the shepherds adored, and Simeon and Anna gave thanks, and the Magi visited, and the boys of Bethlehem were slaughtered, and Joseph had to flee with them to Egypt to save the life of Jesus. Mary had known since she was told of the sword of sorrow which would pierce her heart. And she had kept all these mysteries in that same heart, which contemplated what the salvation of the human race would cost. So Mary knew exactly what it would cost them both when she said to her son, "They have no wine." just as she also knew what it would bring to all the children of Eve when she said to the waiters what she always says to us of her son, do whatever he tells you. Now, moved by his mother's intercession, the Lord Jesus took the first step on the way of the cross by instructing the waiters to fill 6 giant stone jars with 180 gallons of water, now more than 900 bottles of wine, and then asking that the chief steward be given the first taste. When the steward of the feast discovered that the newly available wine was the finest vintage of the day, he was astounded and praised the newlyweds for their generosity. And such is the superabundance of the love of God in Christ for the human race. No need of ours, however small, is beyond his providence, who came to suffer and die for us and to rise from the dead, that we may have life and have it in abundance. The 12 were witnesses of these events. They saw Mary intercede with her son and instruct us to do whatever he tells us. They saw Jesus demonstrate his mastery over nature and attend to simple human need from love. And they understood that the itinerant rabbi whom they now followed was much more than the son of Mary. He was, as John the Baptist had told them, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. 3 more years of Christ's public preaching and private teaching were needed for the apostles to understand and accept the full implications of what they glimpsed that day at a wedding feast. But the 12 had now encountered the revelation, mystery, and light of Christ. John tells us that Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. Only after Christ's resurrection and his ascension to the glory which was his before he made the universe would the 12 grasp and then proclaim with their lives to all the world that the entire created universe is called to rejoice forever at a wedding feast where the bride is us, the Holy Church, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah that the Lord would espouse his own people at the wedding feast of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ.